I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. This is Chris Ann Hall. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. This is not a talk show. This is a teach show. I am not going to regurgitate the news for you. I'm going to take what's happening in the world around you and turn it into a teaching experience, a constitutional civics proper role of government teaching circumstance. It is my pleasure and my honor to do so. I still can't believe that I'm able to do this for you. I mean, it's just amazing to me the things that have happened in my life in the last 3 years. And I'm very excited about it and very excited about what's coming. And we just, you know, in the Liberty First Ministry, we live and work with great expectation. We believe great things are coming. We are filled with hope, filled with promise, because we understand through history that liberty always wins. We just need to ignite some bonfires to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. You see, that's the whole purpose for what we do, to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's what our framers did for us, and that's what our responsibility is. Problem is, we've lost the proper perspective on some very essential things. I want to talk to you this morning about voting. I want to talk to you about your civic duty. I think we have a problem in America. I mentioned the other day that we have an identity crisis. We don't know what it means to mean, we do not know what it means to be American anymore. We are so disjointed and misled about the principles, the founding principles. I mean, I read an article this morning about hundreds of college students protesting a history curriculum change that would promote patriotism. Hundreds of students walked out of classrooms around suburban Denver on Tuesday to protest over a conservative-led school board proposal to focus history education on topics that promote citizenship, patriotism, and respect for authority. In a show of civil disobedience that the new standards would aim to downplay. Well, you know, I think that what these students are doing are important. But you see, what have they been taught about their history from the get-go? See, I believe civil disobedience is an important aspect of maintaining liberty. I don't believe that we should be brainwashing our children to respect for authority, but I mean, we should not be brainwashing our children to believe everything that they hear. We should be raising our children to think, to challenge, to know and learn on their own. See, what happens here in this article is that we are confusing things, right? Because the Fox News headline says, protest history curriculum changes that would promote patriotism. But what does that mean? Well, apparently that means patriotism in a nationalistic sense, a submission to authority. See, there's a difference between a respect for authority and a submission for authority. Why are there things that we should not be teaching our children? Why are there things that we are forgetting to teach our children? There are aspects of our history that we are not proud of. But are we supposed to hide that from our children? We should not be hiding those aspects of our history from our children, because if we do, then we doom them to repeat those mistakes. Are we so arrogant? Are we so self-centered that we cannot teach the truth? The irony is, the things that we are ashamed of in this country are taught incorrectly. And the things that we ought to be proud of are taught incorrectly. That's the big deal. We should not be denying the ugly things, as this article presents this curriculum will do. We should be teaching that these are the mistakes of societies over centuries, and these are the ways that we learn from them and prevent them. You know, the understanding of slavery at the foundation of the colonies, as mandated upon us by the British government, as we were British citizens at that time, is not something that we should be proud of. But what we need to understand is that was the way societies were. This is how we prevent that from happening in the future. And what we did through the ratification of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights was intentionally establish a nation built on human rights, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. See, we've been teaching things wrong. We've been teaching these children that the Constitution was a document of oppression, that we learned nothing about the evils of slavery, and that we had to have a federally induced war to correct the slavery mindset of the people, which is simply not true. Are we proud of the fact that we had government-mandated religion when we started this country? When we started the colonies? Are we proud of the fact that Massachusetts had a law that said if any shipman would bring a Quaker into Massachusetts, the shipman would be arrested and thrown into prison? What do you suppose happened to the Quaker? Are we proud of the fact that in the foundation of our colonies, we were arresting, persecuting, torturing, killing people based on their religion? We should not be proud of that, but what we should recognize is that we learned from that. And from that history, we have our First Amendment, which gives us freedom of religion. But when we deny that aspect of our history, we forget why we even have the First Amendment and freedom of religion. And we have people running around with good intent, but miseducated, talking about how we need to be a Christian nation. I have heard people say we need to make sure that only Christians can be in government. Oh my goodness, can you just imagine? All it takes is an oath of loyalty to the Christian religion and you're qualified for government. I shake my head. We've been down that road. Because you see, the sword that you give the government to prosecute will not long be the sword that will persecute. And then we learned that lesson. When you put the sword in the hand of government to determine the religion of that government, it won't be long before that government changes and that sword is now persecuting you. This is why we have to teach these things. We need our students to question authority. That's the whole purpose of the First Amendment to question authority. How are they going to know what's true and what's right if they don't challenge what they're told? You see, that's not patriotism. That's communism. We got to be so careful, patriots, that we don't swing so far that we end up the wrong way. We must understand that we have an obligation, a civic duty, to teach our children some things so that when they become voters and candidates, that they're qualified to engage in that civic duty. You know, I'm afraid that there are way too many people today that are simply not qualified to engage in their civic duty to preserve liberty. And I'm not talking about liberals. I'm not talking about just progressives. I'm talking about people in our conservative movements who simply do not understand that there's more to civic duty than just voting. Voting is a duty bestowed upon every citizen of this republic. And in a republic, the representatives are supposed to reflect the conscience of the voters. You see, we have some problems in America. We have some serious problems in America, and they're not with government. They're with the people. Two big problems that I see. We believe that voting is the be-all, end-all of our civic duty. And we believe that once we've voted, we're done. The other problem that we have is a two-party system that brainwashes us into believing that we have to choose whom they've selected, and if we do not choose their candidate, we are unpatriotic. Come back after the break. We're going to get into this deeper because it's a serious problem.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. You can find the podcast for the show at chrisannhall.com. chrisannehall.com. And let me ask you a question. Are you sick to death of an uncontrolled, out of control federal government? Are you tired of being ignored by your federal representatives, brushed off, patronized? Are you tired of an executive branch who thinks that it's completely unlimited and the only limitation will be the phone and the pen? Are you tired of a Supreme Court that thinks it's the ultimate rulers of the universe, that they are the oligarchy that rules over us? Are you tired of that? Well, guess what? There are solutions to that problem. Solutions we don't have to invent, solutions we do not have to make up, solutions that we do not have to figure out what's going wrong so we know how to do it right. You see, important to the understanding of our republic and our duty as citizens of this republic is understanding the gift of the republic that we've been given. Another thing that we don't teach our children. But you see, that's why I wrote that book, Sovereign Duty. My brand new book, Sovereign Duty. If you want to know how to fix all these problems, you don't have to listen to me. You just have to listen to the men who gave us the answers. because they're the men who wrote the document. It's time for us to stand up and take back our power. But if we don't know how to do that, where do we begin? How do we even know where to begin? How do we know what we're supposed to do? How do we lay out the process and the progress if we have no idea what to do? That's why sovereign duty gives us those answers. I am not a saleswoman. You know that about me. But look, I believe so wholly in the solutions our framers gave us that I've outlined them in this book in an easy-to-read, easy-to-understand, easy-to-apply manner. You don't need a document to interpret the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, the words of the framers. You don't need someone to interpret them for you. You just need the knowledge to understand them yourself. And that's what I've done in this book. I've given you the knowledge in a way that is not full of legalese, like some scholarly PhD professor might present it to you to make themselves feel smarter and bigger inside. I don't care how smart you think I am, because this teaching in this book, Sovereign Duty, is not my teaching. It's not my invention. It is not my wisdom. It's the wisdom of centuries laid out before us, giving us the plan, the process, to getting an out-of-control government back under control. And if you don't have this book, if we don't have this book in the hands of the people we are entrusting with the preservation of liberty, then we are spinning our wheels and wasting our time. It is time to stand up. It is time to get educated. It is time to take back that which has been stolen through our negligence, our apathy, our laziness. It's time to take that back. Education is the key. And we need to understand that voting, although a duty bestowed upon every citizen of this republic, it's the republic, in the republic, that the representatives are supposed to reflect the conscience of the voters. Unfortunately, that will not be the case if the voters do not vote according to their conscience. See, this is the problem with voting. We no longer vote our conscience. We vote availability. We vote electability. We vote the lesser of two evils. See, it should be no surprise that when we vote and we choose the lesser of two evils, that the voter becomes disenchanted by the fact that his government is becoming more and more evil and reflects his own conscience less and less. This low bar standards of electability and availability only move the nation further away from the ideals of good and right and liberty and morality will always be the first casualties. What are you willing to do?
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Voting is not the be-all, end-all of our civic duty. Voting once every 4 years is not our effort to preserve liberty. Voting is a duty that we have as a citizen. But how is it that we've gotten to the point where voting no longer matters? It pains my heart to say that we have gotten to the point where we have put all our eggs in the voting basket and voting no longer matters. We are absolutely fooling ourselves if we think that voting is going to change this. Because the problem is not voting. The problem is not the number of people who are voting. We have plenty of people who are voting. The problem is the candidates that we choose to vote for. In a republic where the laws are created through representation, those representatives are supposed to create law that reflect the will and the conscience of the people that elect them. However, we don't vote people into office anymore based on our conscience and our will. We vote people into office because they're electable, because they're available. And then that's the only criteria that we use to put people into office. How is it that we are shocked and amazed when our people that we vote for don't reflect our needs, don't reflect our desires and our passions? You see, it's a low bar standard of electability and availability that has moved our nation further and further away from the ideals of good and right, the principles of liberty and morality. And they are our first casualty. You see, our politicians no longer have to reflect our beliefs because the politicians are shoved down our throats as the only options. We had a sergeant in the Army who said, "Suck it up and drive on, soldier." That's our voting process now. You realize that, don't you? We go to the ballots and hold our noses and suck it up and drive on. Why? Because we're negligent. The majority of the people only vote every 4 years instead of taking the care of the local elections every 2 years. And then when they vote, they completely ignore the primaries. Do you know by the time the primaries are over, your choices are over? You're done. At this point in time, because the negligent manner in which we perceive voting, there's no point in voting in general elections. Can I just shock you and say, you know what? There's no point in voting in general elections. Because there are only two choices, and the mob will choose whichever they choose. We are no longer a republic. We are a democracy. Do you know why we are not a republic? Because our candidates do not reflect us. In a republic, the candidates are supposed to reflect the conscience and the morality of the people and create laws that reflect the conscience and the morality of the people. But because we no longer require that of our candidates, we no longer choose people like that. We are ruled by mob rule. Because, you see, it's not morality and conscience that dictates us. It's majority opinion. That's not a republic. Our voting has to occur on a daily basis. Yes, I said daily. You vote every day. You vote every day when you allow your elected representatives to run rogue. Or not. Because voting is not the end of this. But you see, how many of you can admit that you have become so discouraged with government? Because every time you vote for someone, they get up there and they do things that you don't want them to do. Maybe they make you promises and then they don't keep them. They take an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and then when they get up there, they don't do that. Why does that surprise us? When was the last time we actually vetted a candidate based on their understanding of supporting and defending the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. When was the last time we made that the litmus for whether we're going to vote for someone? Don't be shocked. And don't be angry when the person that you elect does not live up to that standard, when that was never the standard to begin with. Because your only standard is he electable? Don't come crying when your electable candidate doesn't live up to his oath. Why? Because the oath was never the standard. We have accepted this low bar of standards of electability and availability for so long that we are brainwashed into believing that's all we have. So don't be surprised, patriot, when your candidates don't reflect your conscience, when you don't vote your conscience. We have to hold true to the Constitution. Daniel Webster asked on July 4th, 1806, is the Constitution worth preserving? He didn't ask if your political party was worth preserving. He said, is the Constitution worth preserving? He said, then guard it as you would the very seat of your life. Not guarding your political party, not guarding your political majority, guarding the Constitution as if someone was holding a sword at your throat. He says, miracles do not cluster, and that which has happened but once in 6,000 years may never happen again. And such a government, once destroyed, would leave a void to be filled. Centuries, he said, riot, despotism, and tumult. He said, we're supposed to not only guard the Constitution from foreign attacks, but also, he said, from that spirit of change. Now, we all sort of chuckle because of the whole hope and change mantra of Obama, but don't you know that every single political party has changed our Constitution? Our conservative Republican House has done more damage to the Constitution in the last 8 years than our president has ever dreamed in his wildest of fantasies. And we're supposed to be shocked about that? Why? Why would we be shocked about that? The Constitution was never the standard. You see, the only way we're going to get our politics in proper order is to stop accepting the status quo and stop being force-fed our choices. We must fulfill our obligation to our children and the preservation of liberty by requiring a candidate to reflect our conscience and not the will of some political party. Our constitutional republic can only properly operate when, as Jefferson said, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Our republic will continue to fail in operating as it should, as long as the governments are instituted among political parties, deriving their just powers from the consent of the political puppets. Voting is not the beginning and the end of our duty to preserve liberty, nor is it the fix for all our problems. Voting is the minimum requirement, and the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And that cannot be fulfilled once every 4 years, or even once every 2 years. We must be involved and engaged vigilantly with the eternal perspectives. We must be engaged to the point where the parties have no choice but to listen to us. Do you believe that liberty is a gift from God? If you do, then you have an obligation to cherish and prosper that gift. You see, I'm not quite sure at what point we became so pacified in our prosperity, so lazy in our luxury, that we started falling off the ledge and letting people govern us instead of we governing ourselves through a republic. I don't know when that happened. I think at this point it's irrelevant when it happened. Unless, of course, it's to understand that we've been at this for a long time now, and it's going to take a while to get back. But you see, understanding the truth, discerning the lies, is the key to breaking free from any cultish brainwashing. We are brainwashed into a political cult. I want you to understand that. Political parties are nothing more than political cults. You're not allowed to leave them. You're not allowed to disagree with them. If you disagree with them, you are outcast, you are chastised, you are beat intellectually and spiritually into submission. That's what a cult is. Your Republican Party is a cult today. Just try to disagree with someone in the Republican Party and see what happens. It's the same response as a religious cult. And the only way we're going to get our politics and break free from this political cult is to stop accepting the status quo and start challenging this cultish authority.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Let us have an intervention. Let us have a breaking free of our political cult entanglement. I found this article on the web, on the internet, Cult 101. A checklist to recognize the characteristics of a cult. A cult who engages in concerted efforts to influence, control its members. Cults and supporters of these cults are not always fully aware of the extent to which they have been manipulated, exploited, and abused. And so pointing out the manipulation, pointing out the aspects of the cult, is key to breaking free. People don't want to be manipulated, don't want to be mentally controlled. It's an unpleasant thing to think about. So I want you to think about your party, your political party, as we go through this list of cult characteristics. Number one, the group displays excessively zealous and unquestioning commitment to its leader or leaders, and regards the belief system, ideology, and practices of the cult as truth and as law. Yeah, don't ever question the Republican Party and their operation, because you know what? Guess what? Any Republican's better than a Democrat. Questioning, number two, questioning doubt and dissent are discouraged and even punished. We're at war with the Tea Party. If you're Mitch McConnell, if you're for the Constitution, you're our enemy. Number three, the leadership dictates, sometimes in great detail, how members should think, act, and feel. I'm just going to go through this list because you can come up with the examples yourself. Number four. The group is elitist, claiming a special, exalted status for itself, its leaders, and its members. We just need a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and everything will be right because we are always right and we are always always going to be the best. Number five, the group has a polarized us versus them mentality, which may cause conflict with the wider society. It's all about us versus them. Don't even challenge. Oh, I love this one. Are you ready? The leaders or leader is not accountable to any authority. Welcome to the Supreme Court. How about your congressmen exempting themselves from their own laws? The group teaches or implies its supposedly exalted ends justify whatever means it deems necessary. This may result in members participating in behaviors or activities that they would have considered reprehensible or unethical before being part of this cult. Oh, really? Because I just thought that meant compromise. Here's a good one. Leadership induces feelings of shame and or guilt in order to influence or control the members. It's often done through peer pressure and subtle forms of persuasion. Do you have to... This is your political party is a cult evidence. The group is preoccupied with making money. I'm sorry, I couldn't even hold a straight face with that one. Members are encouraged or required to live and or socialize only with other group members. God forbid you associate with those libertarians or those Democrats. God forbid Chris Ann Hall teach libertarians, have friends that are libertarians. God forbid Chris Ann Hall teach Democrats, associate with Democrats. Your political party is a religious cult, and this is the proof. And here's evidence number final. The most loyal members, the true believers, feel there can be no life outside the context of this group. They believe there is no other way to be and often fear reprisal to themselves or others if they leave or even consider leaving the group. You see, this is why voting is not the answer, because voting has resulted in the cult of political parties. Break free. Free your mind. Challenge and preserve liberty. God bless. See you tomorrow.